You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL at large and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. We've turned the page to week 17 there. We've got your power rankings, your picks straight up, your picks against the spread, your rankings for fantasy, and then on Wednesday later, a little bit earlier this week than usual, usually goes up Thursday morning, I will have the Stardom Sit'em Column, the decider for week 17, just getting a little ahead this week with the holiday coming up, and hope you're having a good post-Christmas and getting ready for New Year's Eve and a happy new year ahead. We have to look at the final week of the season, however. That's what we're going to do here. We kind of had a mashed up week with a roundup Monday moving to Tuesday, but we're back on track with matchup Wednesday here for week 17. And a reminder that it's also Draft Wednesday, brought to you by Draft. And you can go to Draft and participate to play Draft on my league that's called Locked On Fantasy Football. Simple enough there. Find it on Draft. Sign up. We're going to have one that goes down at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And later in the show, we'll give you an insight on how to get into Draft for the first time. If you've never tried it, it's a fun way of playing fantasy football. And here it is, week 17, your chance to do that. Maybe you are done with year-long and maybe want to do something a little different from DFS, then Draft is the format for you. So who do you want to maybe be associated with on Draft with your lineups this week? Well, let's dive right into that. And for the programming note here, that a reminder that there are no Thursday or Saturday games. There are no night games on Sunday. Then there's no Monday night football either. A little thing called the college football playoff and bowl games all around this weekend. So pretty compact schedule here. A little bit easier to track, especially if you're playing DFS this week, where you know the windows here are going to be 1 p.m. and 4:25 on Sunday. So it's a pretty even split of games. And the NFL makes it so most teams that are not locked into a particular seed will have to play for something. So that helps a little bit in fantasy, but it's also the reason that we suggest a year-long to check out there in week 16. And we still had some scenarios a little bit out of whack in week 16. So, but when you get to week 17, you have a lot of teams thinking about resting, and we'll give you the latest news on what we've heard from these teams. We'll start with the Packers-Lions game. And this is a 7-point spread in the favor of the Lions. So it's a 43 over-under here. Now, the story here is that the Packers could be shorthanded again. Brett Hundley is starting. We know that. Devontae Adams will have to see if he returns from the concussion. It looks very cloudy there. This team was really bad offensively. Didn't score at all against Minnesota. So the only place I'm going with the Packers here is Jamal Williams, because we saw the Lions were in control of the Bengals game, but then they couldn't stop the run, and that's why they were losers in that must-win game for the playoffs. So both of these teams are out. The Lions with Jim Caldwell are not resting starters. They've already declared that. So you're going to get a full-strength Lions team here. So Williams on the other side is the only Packers guy I'm looking at here, especially with Adams banged up and Nelson, Jordy Nelson, not even in the picture again with Hundley starting. So he's the only guy there. On the Lions side, you got to look at Matthew Stafford. You got to look at Golden Tate. You got to look at Marvin Jones Jr. Those are more of your regular plays, especially the two receivers. But Eric Ebron has been playing very well of late, so I don't think they'll stop throwing to him all of a sudden. He's been a big factor here down the stretch for Detroit's offense, especially with no T.J. Jones and Kenny Galladay. Getting to the end of his rookie year, still has a lot to learn there, so he's really the number three option there. The Lions' running game is extremely hard to trust at this point. The game flow is not probably going to favor Theo Riddick and throwing to him. Tion Green, Amir Abdullah, and Riddick, they kind of have split each other here, and we saw that last week. You're counting on a touchdown from one of those guys, and that's not good enough for me. So I think it's going to go to the wideouts and Ebron this week, and that's going to add up to a nice day for Stafford. No elements to worry about here in Ford Field, and a good game for the Lions offense. Bad one, again, for the Packers beyond their running game, possibly. Our next game is the Dallas Cowboys traveling to the Philadelphia Eagles. This is a 41 over-under. The spread is 3 in favor of the Cowboys. Why is that? We know because the Eagles are clearly deciding to rest players in this one. They've declared it several times. Nick Foles could play a little bit because he is the backup quarterback. They want to get him a few more reps here. That's what we heard from Doug Peterson, that of guys that are going to play on a more regular basis, it's him. But I wouldn't expect much of J.H.I. or Alshon Jeffrey, if any of that. Maybe Zach Ertz rests as well, with Trey Burton being more than a capable backup behind him. So I just don't like anything on the Eagles at this point. I mean, if you want to look at a deeper play, I think you could look at the backfield, but I'm not quite sure who's going to go there. We don't even know when everyone's healthy is going to touch the ball. I would imagine it's a lot of Corey Clement in this one, especially because he's the less game flow dependent of them. If the Cowboys get ahead a little bit in this one, Clement is the undrafted rookie. Maybe the third or fourth in the depth chart could touch it, but we never know with the Eagles. So it's a little hard to trust anything there, but you might look at Clement because of the way he gets used in this offense. Said you might look at the Cowboys defense as well, especially if David Irving's going to come back. We'll have to watch that situation, but he could rev up pass rush because they figure the Eagles, there's any issues on the offensive line, they're going to try to keep that intact. They've already lost Jason Peters here for the season, so they want to be careful with that as well. So extremely hard to trust anything on the Eagles side. On the Cowboys side of things, they're going to treat this as a normal game. Here, I don't really like Dak Prescott, even with the way the Eagles' pass defense has played of late. I just don't trust the way he's playing, or Dez Bryant in this one. So I bet it's going to be a lot of Ezekiel Elliott, maybe a little bit of Alfred Morris and Rod Smith behind him. But the Cowboys are pretty much going to try to grind this one away. Expect the Eagles will arrest some people in their front seven as well. So I think it could be a field goal fest with a lot of rushing. But other than Elliott here and maybe Jason Witten, because he just plays all the time, I don't know if I feel great about anything. Dez just didn't look good playing last week, so Elliott, Witten are my guys, the most reliable usage guys for the Cowboys, and that's where I go. And the over-under is pretty low here at 41 as well. Our next game is the Jets and Patriots, and the Patriots are big favorites in this one, anywhere from 15 to 16 points, 45 over-under. Now, with the Patriots, this one could be a very short day at the office for Tom Brady in terms of what he's going to do throwing. And we know the Patriots will play guys as long as they can, and they do have the number one seed on the line, so that's not an issue. But the issue really is that the Jets are pretty much weak here. They really couldn't handle really being competitive against the Saints or the Chargers for very long, so with the Patriots and their running game, with Deion Lewis rolling in this one, he's just such a great player right now, especially with Rex Burkhead hurt. James White was a surprise scratch there with a minor injury, we thought. So you could easily be sitting Burkhead and White so they can rest up for the playoffs. They have so much depth there. And Mike Gillisley was adequate enough. All of a sudden came out of the doghouse, scored a touchdown last week behind Lewis. But Lewis proved he can handle a high volume, so he's a great player. Rob Gronkowski. Brandon Cooks, I'm a little cool on here because when the Patriots are able to run things, and remember Chris Hogan has been banged up and limited here as well, that this has become more of a power team with Lewis and Gronk and the safer throws to Danny Amendola. There's just no reason for this team to put it up when they can run this well, and their run blocking has been fantastic with Gronk in there. That's a bonus to that asset as well. So temporary expectations for Brady. It's really hard to pay for him in DFS because of the limited ceiling. And that's no fault of his. It's just the Patriots are running really well. You like actually one game where Brady doesn't throw an interception. That would be a good little twist because he's done so in past several games here. But you look at it, I just would be calmed down. With the Jets side, I just can't really look at anything with Bryce Petty in there. It's really hard to trust, especially with the Jets backfield going all over the place. But keep an eye on Matt Forte and Elijah McGuire and their status. They were both active with a knee and illness, respectively, there. But Bilal Powell got the touches in a big game. I just don't see too much for the Jets here, as the Patriots typically play better defense at home, as we saw last week against the Bills. They did allow a good day overall for LeSean McCoy, but the Jets have more people to touch the ball in their backfield, and that could make it very cloudy in this one. And Patriots defense is another little sneaky play this week. A good stack with Lewis for sure, and maybe throwing a little Gronk in there, you'll feel pretty good about that group in your lineups. Our next game is the Washington Redskins traveling to the Giants. Now, both teams have nothing to play for. The Redskins are favorites here. The Giants' defense just got destroyed last week. Drew Stanton picked them apart. So, Kirk Cousins' red hot game there against the Broncos. I think he keeps it up here on the road. Just watch the weather in the Meadowlands. It can be tricky with the winds, but Kirk Cousins probably good for at least two scores on this one, 250. Samaj Perine can rebound here to his best game, really, against the Giants earlier the season. Ran all over them on Thanksgiving, had a solid game all around. So I think it could be the Redskins do anything they want here. Vernon Davis, you like. Josh Doctson, after scoring a tough matchup, as well as Jameson Crowder and Davis, you got to like them a lot this week. So I really like the Redskins to just take care of business here. Again, I think you'll get love from all these guys, and the Giants just totally depleted. Now, Landon Collins has been put down for this final game, so he's not going to play. The best Giants defender's out. It's just a mess back there for the Giants in the back seven. So Redskins all in as much as you can. Just make sure the weather cooperates a little bit, and you can also look at their defense, the way they've played the past few weeks here in good streaming type matchups. On the Giants side of things, oh boy, I don't know if there's anything left you can trust there. Eli Manning was a major disappointment in Arizona. You thought there'd be some garbage. Nope, it was 23-0. No hint of anything. So this Giants offense typically plays better in these division type games, but we saw them really grind in the first matchup. So just to stay away from everything Giants and getting everything Redskins you can this week. Our next 1 p.m. game, and a lot of them, it's a pretty even split here. The Vikings are 12-point favorites. They still have to win to get the number 2 seed. So plenty on the line here, because the Panthers can still steal that seed, because if they could win the NFC South and the Vikings lose and they have the same record, and then in between the Rams lose as well, which is a possibility because the Rams are resting people, that the number 2 seed is still in doubt here for the Vikings. This has got a 12 spread, very low over under 39. So it's rare you see a spread that big and low over under. We'll get to the next game that has the same issue as well. But that means the Vikings domination here is what we're expecting. And Jordan Howard, if you're in year long, you got to play him. But DFS, you're avoiding all situations involving the Bears backfield in this matchup. Howard was shut down against the Browns, still scored twice. So that's what you're hoping with Howard and that. But you don't have to stretch and blame in DFS. On the Vikings side of things, I don't really like Latavius Murray here. This Bears team really struggled with Jerick McKinnon more with the outside running in the last matchup, more than the power running. So Jerick McKinnon could do some things. I think Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, I think they'll be rather busy in this one against the Bears. Secondary, Thielen's kind of had a quiet few games here at the wrong time for fantasy, but he could get revved up for a finale here, especially with Diggs coming on strong, and Diggs is on fire here. Looked healthy to be the number one, and he can cause matchup problems. So Diggs, Thielen, you like them. Kyle Rudolph as well. And I said McKinnon over Murray if you're looking at this backfield for sure in the Vikings defense. Mitchell Trubisky, rookie quarterback, end of the season here on the road. You got to like them. This could be the first of several Vikings home games in a row. If they're able to win this, maybe they can get a divisional playoff victory and somehow host the championship game should the Eagles lose, and then they would play again in the Super Bowl. So the Vikings may not have to go anywhere, and they're going to start and close this season on a good note here. Our next game is the Browns and Steelers. I mentioned another big spread here. 14 points in favor of the Steelers, but 39.5 over-under. So that doesn't bode well for the Browns, this one, much like the Bears. DeShone Kizer looked terrible last week, so really can't trust anything except Duke Johnson Jr. He seems to get his no matter what. He's just a very good player, versatile, has done a lot of good things. So Duke Johnson has really ended up being a number two type of RB this year, an RB2, especially in a PPR. He's been borderline RB1 with how much he touches the ball. Isaiah Crowell, extremely hard to trust, though, against the Steelers. I'm not going with any of their receivers either in Cleveland. So look on the Steelers side. We know Antonio Brown's not going to play. I expect a lot of Le'Veon Bell in this one. Juju Smith-Schuster and Martavis Bryant both have good matchups. But again, Bryant gets the tougher one possibly with Jason McCourty, while Smith-Schuster can move around, work the slot with Eli Rogers, and be a little bit more effective inside. So that's what happens here. Bryant getting a lot of the attention. But Juju is a better route runner and better hands guy, so I expect him to be productive as well as Bell again for a second straight week. And the Steelers defense, an outstanding play, especially with former Brown Joe Hayden back with that defibular injury, returned against the Texans. He can make a big play against his former team to close them out and look ahead to the AFC playoffs with the powerhouse, while the Browns limp to their winless season here. Our next and last 1 p.m. game is the Texans traveling to the Colts, and I really like the Colts in this one in terms of Jacoby Brissett in the passing game. Brissett and T.Y. Hilton had a pretty good game together last week. I think Jack Doyle can be a factor in this, and pretty much this is where the passing game goes through. They involve other guys. Dante Moncrief hasn't been healthy. Chester Rogers is just not reliable, so I expect a lot of Hilton, a lot of Doyle, and Brissett as a passer and runner. Went over 300 in the first matchup against the secondary. Nothing scary about it. Colts are at home. The game flow should be in their favor in terms of T.J. Yates being on the other side at quarterback and limitations there for the Texans offense. So on the Texans side, you got to like DeAndre Hopkins. You roll with that train. Lamar Miller will be a little bit more effective, touch the ball a little bit more. I know Alfred Blue is in there, so if you're reaching a little bit, you could look for Blue because he was in more of a timeshare with Miller, but Miller is still the main guy there along with Hopkins. So that's pretty much where you go, Lamar Miller, DeAndre Hopkins. And the Colts side of things, the one thing guy I wouldn't really go for there is Frank Gore. This Texans run defense and run defense against receiving backs as well has been pretty good. So I expect them to contain that part of things. That's why I like Brissett to be pretty effective. So you're looking at the main cogs on these teams, except the running game for Indianapolis. And the kickers, if you need them, it's not a bad spot either. The elements are controlled, and everything is good here in a dome game for Adam Vinatieri and Kamai Fairbairn. Now, I mentioned we've got a draft coming up on Draft at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time for Locked On Fantasy Football listeners. Look for that. I'll tweet out the link and share it on Facebook so you can check that out. And the best thing about playing on Draft, it's fun and easy. There's no salary cap. It's just a snake draft. And at this point of the year, you might have ended your fantasy football season. You want to try something a little bit different. It's fast and fun to join Draft. You can use the promo code LONFL to take advantage of the special offer. It's not too late to join the 500,000 people that have already downloaded Draft this season for one more week. You get to play in a real-life snake draft, and you're done in under 5 minutes. And they last just for 1 week, and that's what we have here in the season. The best part, you can play for cold, hard cash. And get this, your chances of winning are 80% better than on those salary cap sites. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use the promo code LONFL. That's right, play a real money game for free by using the promo code LONFL. It gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Fantasy Football listeners a money back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play right now for free with the promo code LONFL. And remember, it goes down there if you want to join that league, Locked On Fantasy Football. Look for it. I'll send out the link as well. It's a chance for you to go up and see what you can do on Draft. And a free, easy way to try it. Good alternative to the other ways to playing fantasy football in Week 17. perfect way to do that right between the two holidays, and a chance to try something different and get yourself hooked for 2018 to play on draft. Now it's time to look at what we have with the late games here. They're all 425 games on the schedule, so we'll go there now. It's kind of a good split here to make as many games as competitive as possible. The Bills and Dolphins, the Bills are going to be looking to get in the playoffs here. They need to win. They need to hope that the Titans lose to push through here. So it's a really tough situation for the Bills, especially with the Chargers also looming. So a lot of pressure on them to come through here. But it's going to be a tough matchup against the Dolphins, I think. It's a -3 slight edge. The Dolphins have been a much better home team this season. Keep that in mind. So I expect Kenny and Drake to be very effective here, as well as Jarvis Landry. I think you look at the outside receivers, not too hot on them, the way that Tre'Davious White and E.J. Gaines are playing right now. Not crazy about Parker or Stills in this one. I think this is going to be the simple Drake and Landry type game with the support for Jay Cutler. So I really like Drake and Landry at home. I think they'll come through. They're pretty solid week after week, but this is a great opportunity. The weather's not going to be an issue, so you expect those guys to be heavily involved and productive as they typically are when the Dolphins are playing in Miami. For the Bills, Tyrod Taylor is someone you could look at because he can move around and did have a solid game against them because of the rushing totals and chance to score a touchdown that way, as well as put one up through the air. So Tyrod Taylor's not bad. LeSean McCoy is pretty good, but everything else is always a reach with this Bills team. I think Charles Clay, the former Dolphin, if you need him, you can look at him, but I don't think he's the greatest play this week against this team that is better than you think against the tight end. They struggle at times, but I think they can definitely contain Clay here with Rashad Jones back there. So you're looking at Taylor and McCoy on that side and pretty much Drake and Landry on the other side. Keep it simple and move on from there. Our next game is the Cardinals and Seahawks. So the Seahawks have plenty on the line here. They got to win this game, hope that the Falcons lose so they can sneak in as the final wild card in the NFC playoffs. It's a 39 over under, 9-point spread for the Seahawks at home. Russell Wilson, you expect him to keep it going here. Jimmy Graham, Doug Baldwin, the principals for the Seahawks, but I think that's about it. You can look at their defense as well at home against Drew Stanton. But other than that, the Seahawks, you're not going to Mike Davis. It's just extremely hard to trust, even with the volume here for Davis. The Paul Richardson, Tyler Lockett, they're just so hit and miss here in this critical time of year that to look at either of them. There might not be a bad pivot in DFS if you're looking for one guy to break through in a tournament, Richardson or Lockett. They were limited in the first matchup, but they can make big plays. And away from Patrick Peterson and Doug Baldwin, though, we'll be working the slot, and that's going to help them stay away from Peterson as well. So I would expect Baldwin and Graham to do just fine in this one with Wilson, help him get his points and have his best game. He's had two kind of weird games, one really bad game, one very limited game against the Cowboys, but I think Wilson, you'll see the better Wilson show up here with so much on the line and at stake for the Seahawks. On the Cardinals side of things, I think you look at Larry Fitzgerald and that's about it. He's the guy you trust every week. This could be his last game in the NFL for the Cardinals. So you'd expect with that, I think he's going to get targeted a ton by Drew Stanton no matter what. The game flow is probably going to dictate that anyway. Anything else is a bit of a reach for the Cardinals. It's just random here with John Brown or Ricky Seals-Jones or Jerron Brown. It's pretty much a crapshoot, and you cannot trust Kerwin Williams, especially with Elijah Penny splitting carries pretty evenly and DJ Foster in the mix as well. That's not a good recipe against the Seahawks run defense that got back kind of more to normal with Bobby Wagner healthy last week against the Cowboys, and it should be a pretty solid Seahawks victory in this one. Our next game is the Chiefs and Broncos, and the Chiefs have already hinted that they're going to rest people. We've seen this before in Andy Reid's MO. The Chiefs don't have anywhere to go. They're the number 4 seed. They're going to host a playoff game in the wild card round as the AFC West champs. The Broncos are the AFC West cellar dwellers. The Broncos are favored in this one, so The line definitely indicates that the Chiefs are going to sit key players. Alex Smith, you might see for a series, but that's about it. They can afford to sit Travis Kelce. They got depth at tight end, depth at running back. I don't expect to see much of Kareem Hunt. Depth at wide receiver, so no Tyreek Hill. So the main Chiefs that you would go with, you got to totally pivot off them. That makes the Broncos' defense very appealing in this one at home, that they're going to face a pretty second-string Chiefs offense. And we know without Hill, Kelce, and West, with Hunt, that this offense can really struggle. You're going to have Charcandrick West in there. He's not necessarily the power guy that can really help this Chiefs offense move the ball consistently. So Broncos defense is looking pretty good if you need a unit there. On their side of things, it's trending towards Paxton Lynch starting. So if Paxton Lynch starts, I think I'm totally off trying to start Demaryius Thomas in this one. I just don't trust Lynch to get the ball in the hands of him as much, and even with Emmanuel Sanders missing the game. And we'll see what the Chiefs do secondary-wise, but it's just very hard because Lynch and his passing is extremely hard to trust. I would expect it's going to be a whole bunch of running there from C.J. Anderson, who's looked pretty good, and the Chiefs figured to sit some guys in the front seven as well. So Anderson, I feel okay about. Thomas, I think you can play him in year-long because he's going to be number one, especially if Sanders has to miss another game with the ankle injury. But that only means the attention's going to go all on Thomas. So you got temporary expectations for playing him there. But DFS-wise, I think Anderson's the only guy that you can look at here in this one for Denver, as well as their defense. Not a bad sneaky stack in DFS formats this week either. Our next game is the 49ers and Rams. And before we recorded, we learned that the Rams are thinking about sitting players. And now the Rams can actually fluctuate here in seed from number three to number four. If the Saints were to win and jump them, then that would change the matchup in the playoffs. But it doesn't seem like Sean McVay is too concerned about who the Rams play, rather than being in full strength to play that team next week, especially guaranteed a home game as the NFC West champion. So that's not great news for Todd Gurley owners. Well, it's good if you had Todd Gurley week 15, 16, if your leagues decided your championship then. But now going into week 17, that's why it's tricky, because a guy like Gurley could be sat here easily. They could look at definitely a lot of Malcolm Brown in this game. They pretty much go heavy Gurley or else on this team, and I think you could see a lot of else in this one, where Brown touches the ball quite a bit as they rest Gurley. He's got a high volume. He touches the ball a ton, so they may be looking more to saving his body a little bit for the next week, and understandably so. That could hurt his MVP case. It's going to hurt his fantasy production, obviously, as well, to maybe very limited in this one if he even plays. So Jared Goff, I would expect you'd see some of Sean Mannion in this game. I think they'll have to keep in Goff for a couple series here just for a little bit of a tune-up. In terms of the receivers, you know, they can't go too crazy here with sitting people. You're not going to see Tavon Austin, Farrah Cooper line up all game. I bet Cooper Kupp plays a little bit in this one as well, but it's just hard. McVay is a very shrewd and smart coach, so he's going to pretty much stick to that plan. So I think you have to pivot away from the Rams. The Rams are mild favorites in this one, -3. I still think they could win this game with defense and some of the other skill players they have, especially against the 49ers, but it's going to be a lot tougher here if they don't play Gurley, obviously. So go away from this game. I think you could see the Rams' defense being a bigger impact on this one, knowing that Moore is on them. They're at home. They want to finish strong against the 49ers. But Jimmy Garoppolo on the other side, you got to feel better, because the Rams' defense is probably going to sit a few guys as well. You can't throw on the Rams. I think it's a good situation for Carlos Hyde as well. So Garoppolo, I'm not as fan of in DFS, because you can find guys with a higher ceiling to play this week. But in year-long, he's pretty solid here. We've seen the matchups really don't matter for Garoppolo. So Garoppolo and Hyde, I think you can look at Marquise Goodwin as well if you need him. I think he can be a lot more involved. Not nearly the tough secondary matchup he had against the Jaguars this week. So Kyle Shanahan is also good at exploiting the right matchups the way that McVay is. So at least you're starting to know that you can trust these two coaches to get the ball in the hands of the right people in the right matchups at the right times, and that's good going forward for 2018. Our next game is the Bengals and the Ravens. And another team, the Ravens, win and they get in. They're 10-point favorites at home. It's a 40.5 over-under in this one. The Ravens should take care of business here pretty well. I think Alex Collins is in a good position to rebound. If you've been disappointed with the Browns and Colts games, I think Collins will come through for you in the backfield. Joe Flacco is going to keep it going. I really like his main guys again this week, especially in PPR, Mike Wallace and Benjamin Watson. You could have Jeremy Maclin return, but I think that'll only help both of those guys' value with somebody to draw attention at wide out as well as inside for the Ravens. So if you're going there, you can. I think you feel the safest about Collins this week, but I think you can feel pretty good about Wallace and Watson as well. Joe Flacco, another good streaming opportunity here at home. He's played very well of late, taking advantage of all his weapons and well-rested here. Got an extra day as well to boot. On the Bengals side of things, Joe Mixon, I don't expect him to play with the ankle injury. There's no reason to. It's the end of the rookie season. There's not much on the line. They got to avoid further injury to a guy that could be special for them in the backfield, especially with their situations. But speaking of special in the backfield, Giovanni Bernard has been excellent when he's gotten the opportunity. His knee injury that was a big concern, how he'd respond. He's fully healed from that here, clearly, at the end of the season. You're well removed from that almost a whole year, more than that. So Bernard is the guy I like. AJ Green, you got to put in there. There's no Jimmy Smith to worry about as well. Finally, he gets a break in the matchup. Marlon Humphrey could give him a little bit of problems, the rookie there from Alabama, but heck, it's not Xavier Rhodes and Darius Slay from what he's seen in the past 2 weeks here. So I bet Green gets a little bit loose in this one. He typically has good games against the Ravens. Other than that, Green and Bernard, there's not much to see there for the Bengals. I really like the Ravens' defense at home against Andy Dalton as well. So that's something you can look at for sure. But I expect the Ravens to take care of business and win this game. Now, are you looking forward to the next stars in fantasy football? Then you got to listen to Locked On NFL Draft, another show that we have on the great Locked On NFL Network. You can get the insight on all the players upcoming into league in April. The focus has been on the quarterbacks with Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen set to enter. You got Josh Allen, you got Lamar Jackson, you got Baker Mayfield, an intriguing five set of quarterbacks there, as well as Saquon Barkley. Don't forget about where Saquon Barkley goes. We've got the Giants and the Jets. We'd love to see them get someone like Barkley to solve their backfield situation and make it more clear on fantasy as well. So get the insight from that show. It's Locked On NFL Draft on the Locked On NFL Network. The attention's all going to go there for all these teams, all 32, as soon as the gun ends on the season. For many, the 20 that are out of the playoffs, they're already going to look at NFL drafts. So you got to listen to that show. If you're a fan of those teams, you can also listen to your individual shows. It's a great network to be part of, and that's a great thing to look forward to in the new year. Now we close with our final four games of the 2017 regular season that we'll look at, and we'll start with a couple of the NFC South matchups, and still a lot to be decided in the NFC South. We'll start with the Saints and Buccaneers. This is the highest over-under of the game of the week here at 50.5. The Saints are favored by 7.5. They still got a win to take care of the division. They've already clinched a playoff spot, but they want to get a home game here. And with the Rams resting people, there's a chance maybe to move up to number 3 here as well. So that's also on the line for the Panthers. The Panthers are right even with them. The Saints do have the tiebreaker by virtue of the head-to-head victories, but still requires a win here against the Buccaneers, who've lost 3 straight field goal games in a row, back-to-back to the Falcons and Panthers. So maybe they're ready to come back to bite the Saints here in this one, but sometimes the frustration of 2 close games can kind of blow up. But we'll start with the Saints. You got to play your main guys, Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, Mark Ingram, and Alvin Kamara. Pretty much are your main Saints every week. Ted Ginn, he did score last week, so if you need to extend yourself and play Ginn, you can definitely look at him in this one against this Bucs secondary as well. He's been a big part when they're running the ball effectively and can take those deep shots. which were they able to do against Atlanta. That again came through, especially with the attention of Thomas. And Thomas, remember, had a little bit of a hamstring issue last week, so you could see a little bit more goat again. So that's maybe the only extension I would go to. From the Bucs side of things, you look at Jameis Winston. He's on fire of late here. I know he has had the fumbles and the sacks, but that's kind of hurt his value. But the way he's playing reality-wise, he went over 300 yards and a TD in Carolina last week. Played very well against the Falcons as well. So I expect him to keep it going here. You look at the running game, it's extremely hard to look at either Doug Martin or Peyton Barber at this point. The Saints are going to have to put it up in this game. The game flow is probably going to favor the Bucs in terms of having to throw a lot. DeSean Jackson, we're very iffy about him playing this week, and that probably hurt Jameis Winston from getting multiple scores there in Carolina. But do you look at the guys out there with him, with no O.J. Howard as well? You got Mike Evans has played very well here, and he can handle the matchup with Marshon Lattimore size on size, that maybe he can come through again for a third straight week for you. And I think Adam Humphries is another little sleeper that you can look at, as well as Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin, they really didn't miss much of a beat with Jackson out, with Godwin operating as the number two receiver, the rookie from Penn State. Set up for a big role next year if they make a decision on Jackson. He's slowed down. He's an older veteran. So Godwin's a guy that has done well with his opportunities in both games as a starter when Evans was suspended and Jackson was hurt. So I really like him in this one as well. And again, Humphries in the slot, there's a guy you can look at, especially because of the limitations of tight end. This team's going to spread the field more. Cameron Brait has an opportunity to do things here, but he's pretty much a red zone dependent guy. While I think Humphries, Godwin, and Evans should be busy here on the field as they're in catch-up mode and heavy passing mode for the Bucs, and that's why I kind of like Winston to keep it up this week. And Evans is a surefire play, but Humphries and Godwin definitely have value, especially in PPR leagues this week, and I would stay away from both defenses with this high point total. The other NFC South game, and the Panthers will be hoping that the Saints are losing so they can win and win the division and possibly jump the Rams here and the Vikings for that number two seed. So they're going to be motivated as well. You look at the Panthers here. They're 3.5-point underdogs. It's a 46-45.5 over under about for this game. The first game was 20-17, so I expect things to be maybe tempered again. We've seen this happen with the Saints Falcons matchup. We saw it with the first Panthers Falcons matchup. Really, only the Panthers Saints in this division has been really a shootout there, so that's what you're looking at. But in this one, you're looking at the Falcons. I think it'll be a gritty game. You're going to start to Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman, no matter what, year long, because of their potential to score and be involved in this offense. But I think they'll come through better at home this week. They're typically a better team offensively at home. Julio Jones stays in there, Mohamed Sanu. So those four are good principles that should add up to a good day for Matt Ryan here. With so much on the line at stake, if the Falcons win, they'll get a wild card. And so both of these teams will be highly motivated in this window for sure. So on the other side, Cam Newton, extremely hard to trust. I do like Christian McCaffrey. And I would say of the receivers, I would say I like Greg Olsen a little bit more, tight end, than Devin Funchess. But keep in mind, they do have Desmond Trufant on the other side. The Falcons do typically play better pass defense and rush the passer better at home. So not much I love in the Panthers side except for McCaffrey and Olsen there. Cam, I think, just has a limited ceiling this week. And there are guys with higher ceilings out there that I would rather go after, including Ryan on the other side and must win here. So keep that in mind for this game. Now we go to our penultimate game here of the season and of week 17, the Raiders and Chargers. Chargers an 8-point favorite. Keep in mind Melvin Gordon might miss this game, and keep in mind that Austin Eckler has had a hand injury that kept him out last week, broken hand. So you could see a lot of Brandon Oliver for the Chargers, and really what that means is you're going to see a lot of passing from the Chargers if Gordon has to sit. So that's good news for Phillip Rivers. Antonio Gates proved he's rejuvenated with no Hunter Henry there. He's killed the Raiders in the past, so he's a guy that you can look at. Oliver, you got to look at just as a guy that's going to touch the ball a lot of the backfield if you need him. And then look at these receivers. Keenan Allen could carve up this Raiders secondary as well with no David Amerson there. And I think you could stretch a little bit deeper. It's harder to trust Tyrell Williams versus Travis Benjamin. So I feel very good about Gates and Allen, sleepers, Oliver, and very good about Rivers in this one at home, as the Chargers could sneak into the playoffs here if things break their way, especially with the Titans playing in this window and the Bills playing in this window. So keep that in mind. They'll be motivated to play well. Chargers defense, you got to love. The Raiders offense has just looked terrible the past couple weeks with Derek Carr. Both against the Cowboys and the Eagles, I think the Chargers are better overall pass defense, better overall pass rush than both of those teams. So Chargers fire up. On the Raiders side, you're looking at Marshawn Lynch. You're playing him. I think you have to look at the matchup with Casey Hayward, but I would say Michael Crabtree is the better option than Cooper in this one. So you're looking at probably Crabtree and Lynch as your only guys that you somewhat feel okay about playing. I don't feel great about Crabtree, but I do prefer him over Cooper this week if you're going to have to pick a Raiders receiver for Derek Carr. But Lynch, he's just solid, gets the yardage all the time now, volume. They're just feeding it to him, and even when everything else is not working, Lynch is still being pretty productive. Our final game here is the Jaguars and Titans, and we've had a little bit of breaking news since we started recording, is that the Jaguars are not playing to sit people, so they say. I mean, they've kind of danced around it. They say they're going to keep their starters in. I understand that. They didn't like the way they played against the 49ers last week, so still I could see a tune-up situation where Blake Bortles comes in, plays pretty well early. They pull him a little bit, but we'll have to see. Bortles is pretty durable, typically doesn't miss time here, so they'll probably trust him to stay healthy and stay in the game. Now, with receivers, they're resting guys anyway because Allen Hurns is not 100%. He couldn't even go last week. Marquise Lee, we know, is not playing. So they got to play somebody that's around, especially with the Jalen Strong, who scored last week, already tearing his ACL. They got to play guys like Keelan Cole and Jaden Mickens and Dede Westbrook because there's no one else here at this point. So it's funny that they're saying they're not resting guys, but they kind of have to play those guys anyway this week. They don't really have a lot of depth on the offensive line, so they're going to have to play those guys. I think Leonard Fournette is the guy that I'm watching the most here. He has a quad injury, end of the rookie season, hitting a wall. He's critical to their playoff hopes, especially this time of year. After the first game, they're going to be on the road in tough conditions. Fournette has to be as fully healthy as possible, and they have pretty good confidence in TJ Yeldon and Chris Ivory, so that's the thing I'm looking at most in this game from the Jaguars. But Fournette, it's extremely hard to trust. I think you can look at Bortles, Keelan Cole, and the receivers having a good matchup and go that way with this team. But that's how you kind of look at it. And the Jaguars defense, they'll still show up. They can't sit everybody there, and they're very deep and very good. So a defense that is still playable even with some guys sitting. The Titans, on the other hand, it's really hard to trust Marcus Mariota here. DeMarco Murray looks like he's going to miss this game. So Derrick Henry is really the Titans guy I like the most this week. I don't really love Mariota. I don't really love his receivers in this Jaguars defense matchup. Delanie Walker could be set up by Henry as well. So Henry and Walker are the only Titans I like this week in this particular matchup to close the 2017 NFL regular season. So there you have it. There's your final matchup Wednesday of the season, your draft Wednesday as well. Make sure that you look for that link on my Twitter and Facebook pages so you can join in on draft Wednesday and take advantage of that promo code LONFL to try it out for free. It's your last chance here this season, so do that, check it out, and we're happy that we're on board with draft on Lockdown Fantasy Football. Follow me at Twitter on Vinny Iyer. Follow me on Sporting News. For Lockdown Fantasy Football, this is Vinny Iyer. We'll check in tomorrow with our DFS and start-sit look on Focused Lineup Thursday.